Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. We're just about a week away now from the beginning of Lent. And even now, it's a good time to think through that particular time in the church's life and in our life. How do I want Lent to go? How do I want it to be fruitful for myself, for my family? What is it that God asks of me? Ask him, even now, ask him in these days. Show me, Lord, what it is that you want me to focus on, what it is that you want me to pay attention. I've mentioned that I have a CD coming out called The 40-Day Journey, Encountering the Love of God, and that's going to be available to you in a couple of different ways, which I will speak about more later. But right now, I just want you in your own personal life to think, what do I need to pay attention to that God wants to change in me? Maybe I'm living a lie in a particular way. Maybe a sin, another kind of sin, is habitual in my life and keeps me back from knowing the Lord as well as I want to. Or perhaps it's a relationship that needs to change. Whatever. Take a look. What do you think is the obstacle right now to knowing God more, to growing in intimacy with God? Just think about it and pray about it. You don't have to be discouraged about it. Let's just acknowledge it yourself. And just do that for the next few days, and then I'll have more to say as we draw nearer to the great season of Lent. The first reading today is taken from the first book of Kings, chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. The queen of Sheba, having heard of Solomon's fame, came to test him with subtle questions. She arrived in Jerusalem with a very numerous retinue, and with camels bearing spices, a large amount of gold and precious stones. She came to Solomon and questioned him on every subject in which she was interested. And King Solomon explained everything she asked about, and there remained nothing hidden from him that he could not explain to her. And when the queen of Sheba witnessed Solomon's great wisdom, the palace he had built, the food at his table, the seating of his ministers, the attendance of the garb of his waiters, his banquet service, and the burnt offerings he offered in the temple of the Lord, she was breathless. "The report I heard in my country about your deeds and your wisdom is true," she told the king, "though I did not believe the report until I came and saw with my own eyes. I have discovered that they were not telling me the half. Your wisdom and prosperity surpass the report I heard. Blessed are your men, blessed those servants of yours who stand before you always and listen to your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, whom it has pleased to place you on the throne of Israel. In his enduring love for Israel, the Lord has made you king to carry out judgment and justice." And then she gave the king 120 gold talents, a very large quantity of spices and precious stones. Never again did anyone bring such an abundance of spices as the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. She honored him for his wisdom. You want to grow in wisdom? You can study. You can learn all kinds of things. You can become an expert in a particular subject, but that's not necessarily wisdom. Or it's a very narrow form of wisdom applying to some particular thing. What I'm talking about is the wisdom that comes from God, the gift of wisdom that is a gift of the Holy Spirit. What is the gift of wisdom? Well, I could spend a long time on it, but basically, the gift of wisdom is when you begin to see things from God's perspective. You see the importance or lack of importance of things from God's perspective. You begin to understand more the heart and the spirit of God as he leads you into truth, because the fullness of truth is the fullness of wisdom, and that is Jesus Christ. So the more we are conformed to him, the more we walk in the truth, the more we walk in the truth, the more wisdom can be imparted to us. But if you've got many little pockets, some of them lies and some of them truth, and then somehow you want the gift of wisdom, it isn't going to happen. Because lies and untruth, it doesn't just destroy truth, but it's destroys the capacity for wisdom. Wisdom is God sharing himself with us, that we see things from God's perspective. And you can't do that just by study. You can't do that just by reading a lot of books. You can do it by prayer, and you can do it by conforming your life to God and asking that his priorities be yours, that you will obey him and follow him. Then the gift of wisdom has fertile soil in which to grow. Psalm 37, the mouth of the just murmurs wisdom. Commit to the Lord your way, trust in him, and he will act. He will make justice dawn for you like the light, bright as the noonday shall be your vindication. The mouth of the just man tells of wisdom, his tongue utters what is right. The law of his God is in his heart, his steps do not falter. The salvation of the just is from the Lord. He is their refuge in time of distress. And the Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. Because they take refuge in him. Where's your safety? It's in the heart of God. Where's your hope? It's in God. Where is your strength and your courage? It's in God. We have what we call natural talents and abilities, yes, but they're nothing like the supernatural talents and abilities that God wants to impart to those who follow him. Love wisdom. Seek wisdom. Wisdom is a way of life because it's based on a relationship with the source of all wisdom and the source of all truth and all beauty. And that's what you want. That's ultimately what you want. Even if you don't know you want it, it is what you want because it's what you were made for, is union with God. And wisdom is one of those signs of his presence. Union is only complete in heaven. But a growing intimacy, a growing union, is shown in part by wisdom, insight, most of all by love. Most of all by love. Sacrificial love, generous love. Are you marked by such signs? God wants you to be. Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verses 14 to 23. Jesus summoned the crowd again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. Nothing that enters one from outside can defile that person. But the things that come out from within are what defile." Isn't that true? What we do from within, our sin gets in the way, our pride, our arrogance, our fear, our desire for evil things. And they begin to lead us and to guide us. And you don't want that. The things that come from within are what defile, but nothing that enters one from outside can defile that person when it comes from God. It's what we do with it sometimes. We twist it, eliminate some things, add a few things, make up our own truth. What we're doing, in effect, is saying, "God, we don't need you." It's a good examination of conscience to say, how much am I living within the truth that is God's truth of who God is and who God made us and what he made us for? How much am I living my life within that framework, and how much am I living it in light of the world? When he got home, away from the crowd, his disciples questioned him about the parable. And he said to them, "Are even you likewise without understanding? Do you not realize that everything that goes into a person from outside cannot defile, since it enters not the heart but the stomach and passes out into the latrine?" Thus he declared all foods clean. "But what comes out of the man, that is what defiles him. From within the man, from his heart, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly." All these evils come from within, and they defile. Brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but I want to eliminate those things in my life. They tempt. Many of those kinds of things tempt us. It's what I do with the temptation that's important. Do I take it to God and say, God, I can't fight this battle alone. Will you help me? Walk with me. And then talk to him a lot. God loves you. God wants to walk with you. God wants you to be able to overcome a good bit of the sin in your life. He really does. He longs for that for you. He wants you to know the beauty of his truth and his goodness. So I encourage you, don't let your own sin and your own faults weigh you down and say, that's how I am, so I guess there's no hope for me. That's the voice of the enemy. All God asks is that we ask for forgiveness. He wipes the slate clean and we start over. And even if for a while you have to wipe the slate clean 2 or 3 times a day, it's okay. You begin a new habit, a new way of thinking in a particular area, whatever is the sinful, the primary sinful area for you. Take it step by step. God will eliminate it in your life when you give your whole will over and say, I want to get rid of this. I do. I want to be free. When you say that, God's right there to help you. Brothers and sisters, one of the great teachers many years ago, a great spiritual director, was a French Jesuit priest called Saint Claude de la Colombière. And his writings are very good, very good. You can find them in good libraries, and he's worth reading. And he writes, nothing makes more visible how much he hates sin than what he has done to destroy it. Is it not too much to say that he wanted to descend from heaven and die himself to wipe it out? The Son of God has hated sin as far as to want to die in order to destroy it. Think of that. God's hatred of sin is so great that he wanted to die to destroy it. How much do we hate that sin? I speak of the faults that Christians who live in half-heartedness are accustomed to commit deliberately and of which they make for themselves habits that they hardly bother to correct. Such are minor angers, the minor swipes, the words of contempt, the slight gossip, the mockery, the lies, the irreverence, and the voluntary distractions in prayer, the desire to please people, the humorous talk that can produce nasty thoughts, the curious looks, too great a love of neatness in dress, laziness, the minor overindulgence in drinking and in eating, the negligence in things that pertain to duty, as in the instruction of others and in the education of children. In a word, all sins of whatever kind they may be, when the issue is slight or there is more lack of consideration than malice, I say these faults, above all when they are actual, when one often falls back into them, when one neglects to mend one's ways from them, when one counts them for nothing, I say these are the greatest of evils. Ponder that. We're going to talk more about it tomorrow. God bless you. For the free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, dial 1-800-282-4789. For the CD, 40 Days Journey, Encountering the Love of God, go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. Cost of the CD, $10. God bless you.